Welcome to episode 75 of the Main Yarn Podcast. Hey everybody, I'm Julie.
Hello, and I'm Jen.
And we're happy to be brought to you today by Jen's house.
Yes, Sebago, Maine, looking over Sebago Lake again.
Yes.
A lot of you seem to enjoy this.
Yeah.
And we did too, so yeah. We thought we'd bring it back.
Yeah, and it's an amazing view and it's only getting better, so stay tuned and then we'll see the leaves change again next month.
Maybe. Yeah, well, maybe later this month.
Yeah.
Because we should, by the end of this month. Today's October 1st.
It is.
We missed September somehow. It just disappeared.
Nobody woke us up when September ended. It was the trouble.
Well, it's September 31st today, right?
Sure.
We just forgot that it was just a 30-day month, so that's why.
Yeah.
This is our first October podcast. Hopefully, maybe we'll get another one in.
Yeah.
Because the leaves are just starting to change behind me, and it's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah, it's usually spectacular here in Maine in the autumn. So, yeah, see that.
Yes.
But as far as today goes...
Yeah, we have a podcast.
Yeah, we have a podcast. What were we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about what we're wearing. This will become a new official segment as we do the video. So you can see what we're wearing. Usually don't care that we're wearing our pajamas.
Actually, we usually do wear knitted stuff, but anyway, yeah.
Oh, not in the summer.
Yeah.
Not me as much.
Okay.
Unless they're my t-shirts, because I like knitting t-shirts.
And then we're going to talk about what we've been working on.
Yes. And what we want to work on next.
Yep. We'll have at least one catastrophe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Some random thoughts.
Yep. Talk about making stuff.
And then out and about, which will include one more final interview from Knitwit at the Shores with the vendors that we had this summer.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that last one. It'll be a good one.
Yeah, it will.
I think that was the one where it was raining. So apologize in advance if the rain is... Remember how bad it rained that last...
Yeah.
At the end of it?
Yeah.
Everyone still had a blast, but...
Yeah.
It just got noisy in the barn where we were recording. So, sorry. Let's see. All right. So what are you wearing today, Julie?
I am wearing my lovely red ranunculus in...
feels like a red carpet sort of a conversation.
Yes,
Who are you wearing
Who
today?
Am I wearing? I'm wearing me. But no.
Who's your designer?
I made this.
Can you remember the name of the designer of the ranunculus?
Oh, gosh.
This is
a
pop
quiz. It begins with a K.
I can go to...
The designer is, I think, in Japan. I think he's a Japanese designer.
That sounds familiar.
And I think it begins with a K, but we'll see. Somebody knits. And this is the famous red ranunculus that... This is the reason I want to make a ranunculus was I saw
Here's
one made
the name.
In this color.
You get to say it.
I'm not sure. Oh, Midori. That does not begin with a K, but
no.
Midori Hirose. But Midori.
Yes.
Thank you. Designed it. And this is the one that I made after the one... that is in the store that you wouldn't sell slash give to me.
Give to you? Because, we still sell that yarn, so I don't usually get rid of the samples.
Oh, and then I'm also wearing, can I do this elegantly?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to do it anyway, whether it's elegant or not. So I'm also wearing, because it's beginning to be autumn, some handmade socks.
They're gorgeous.
Thank you. So these are, you can't really see the red that well in the camera.
No.
But anyway, these
You don't have to put it in front of your face either.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have a fake background.
Thank goodness, because I don't think I could right now. But those are some handmade socks as well, and those are from Zauberball Crazy. I made those a few years ago.
Yeah, those are fun yarns.
Yeah.
I think we've had fun talking about the names of those colors on the podcast.
Lots of German. Ausgezeichnet. So, what are you wearing?
I am wearing my Calistoga that I finished last time that I didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Well, I did talk about, I didn't show because I didn't have it. But I decided to wear it today because it's still warm, even though it's sort of a beachy kind of cover-up looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, also in Quince Kestrel.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I didn't say that. This
Quince Kestrel. We're in sort of a Kestrel sort of mood here.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by the number 7. And Quince Kestrel.
This is Sesame Street.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, I've totally lost my train of thought. October and it does not feel like it.
No,
I'm wearing
doesn't.
Shorts. You're all autumned up there with the boots and
but
those
I'm overheated.
Socks. Yeah.
I'm a little overheated. Verklempt. Yeah. No. That's not what that means.
So yes. So that's what we're wearing. And You didn't ask me who made my...
Oh, yeah. Who made yours?
This is by Beach House Knits.
Oh, but you made it.
I did make it, obviously. But it is designed by Beach House Knits.
Very nice.
So that's who we're wearing on the autumn-colored carpet behind us.
Yes.
Almost. It's sort of green-yellow. It looks yellow on the camera from what I can see here.
Very nice.
All right.
I've already got a mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, what are you working on that you're making mistakes on?
I am working on the fabulous...
Famous.
Yes.
From, you know, as we've been talking about it.
Recursive.
Yes. Like folded up. I totally want to make because it's math.
Yeah, I'm still holding it in front of my face. Look at me.
Yeah.
But look at those colors. Just amazing. But I keep making a mistake.
Yes. Bye.
By the amazing Bristol Ivy. Yes. And we started, we talked about it last week, but yes, the one that we came in, she came into the store and did a class.
Yes.
Whenever that was, a year and a bit ago?
Something like
that. At least a year, more than a year ago.
Yeah.
I'm still on it. I put it aside for a while.
Mine, we didn't even find it today. We were going through my webs.
Yeah.
It must be in another box, but it's definitely up there on things I want to start on, but I got to find my colors, which are similar-ish to yours, not exactly the same, but I think it's the green and pink kind of combo that you wouldn't expect to work, but looks amazing.
Yeah, it does.
So,
yeah.
All right.
It's great.
So
that's who we're wearing, what we're wearing.
And what you're working on.
We jumped over
your pattern. Too much.
I know. I'm sorry. This was not a good choice. But I'm obsessed with it.
Obviously.
So what have you been working? What are you working on right now?
Right now, this is, again, starting to look like a little baby dress.
Yes. Oh, it's
Isn't
so cute.
That cute? It's almost done.
Yeah.
This is, if I can, there we go. Isn't that adorable?
It is.
Just going to add a little bit more length to the skirt.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is made out of...
Yorkshire spinners.
Yes. Wow. Thank you. Bo Peep. Yeah, here it is. Yeah. Bo Peep Luxury Baby DK from West Yorkshire Spinners. And the pattern is just called, what's it called? The Sweetheart Raglan Dress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting because it's a raglan dress, but it's knit flat. I'm just kind of knitting in the round because I'm not knitting in the round, but it's not connected. I'm just using round needles.
Yeah.
And I was very confused when I started this pattern because, one,
it wasn't in the round.
It wasn't written in America either.
Yeah.
And so some things were a little different, but yeah, it wasn't written in the round and it's a raglan. So I was like, well, what in the world? It's written flat. And so it seems to be working. I just followed the steps.
Yeah.
As you do. And it seems to be working out. So I see how now I can just seam that up and it will become a baby dress. So this is just for a shop sample. But I figured it was just a baby dress. I could whip it out quickly. But given, you know, moving and traveling and everything else, it's not been as quick as I wanted it to be.
Yeah. But still, it's almost done. I can tell.
Plus, something's been taking my time. So, as a way aside here, we don't have our television hooked up yet.
Oh.
Because we moved in and, you know, that's one of, I don't know. We haven't hooked it up yet. We did get it on the wall, but then we couldn't find the power cord. So.
I'm sorry. It's not funny.
It's just hanging there.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Except that I get a lot of my knitting done in the evening when I put on something on the TV and then I knit along with, like, Doctor Who or something. And I haven't been doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just sit and knit because, like, that's not enough.
Yes.
Like, I need something else.
Yeah.
Unless I was working on something really complicated and by the time the evening rolls around, I'm pretty tired and I don't want to work on something really complicated.
Have you tried reading?
I do know how to read.
You tried reading and knitting at the same time.
I listen to audiobooks and knit sometimes.
Yeah.
But no.
Because that can work. I have done that.
It can.
I don't read as much as I used to, though, to be honest.
I do, like, I don't know. I probably look at the TV screen about half the time and look at my knitting about half the time.
Yeah.
So it'd be hard to do that with, reading a physical book.
Yeah.
An audiobook would be okay. Anyway,
it depends what kind of pattern it is, too.
True.
If it's an easy pattern, then it's not a big deal.
Yeah. But if there's any other, like, gamers out there, I've been, I don't know. know if I want to admit it, but you know.
you started it.
Fully grown woman here. Been playing my Nintendo Switch
yeah.
a lot because the new Zelda game is amazing.
Oh yeah.
Just have to throw that in here in a totally unrelated segment.
Can you do that and knit at the same time?
No. And that's why my knitting has been really lagging, because I cannot control the video game and knit at the same time at all.
Yeah.
But if you do like video games and you're a Zelda fan, because, you know, I've been playing Zelda since the 80s.
Yeah.
Tears of the Kingdom, their newest one on Switch. And I don't know if it's on other platforms, but it's just amazing. It is so in depth.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun just exploring this whole world. Really fun. So,
cool.
Totally aside, not sponsored by Nintendo. But if you like video games, Tears of the Kingdom is a good one. Anyway, what were we talking about? Little dress and why yarn? I'm not done with it yet.
Yeah.
That's why. I'm so close. I have to measure it too, because it's going to have a little garter like ridges on the bottom, and then I'll be done.
Yeah. And this is a shop sample. You don't have any news for us or anything.
No. That would be ridiculous.
That would be ranunculus.
Ranunculus. Ugh. No. No news from anybody.
Okay.
What are we talking about again?
Okay. What we're working on.
What else are you working on?
What else have I been working on besides ranunculus? See? Recursive. Well, this is the closest one. I counted this. This is ridiculous. Ranunculus. I did start.
The camera's over there.
I know. Sorry. Okay. You're here.
Okay. The camera's you're showing here. Me? Yes. You're showing it to my computer, though.
I know. Very confused.
Yeah.
This is a sock. So,
for a tiny person.
No. It's a regular sock.
No.
It's so just... this is the way I start all my socks.
I know.
I start with a square.
But it's tiny. That's not a square.
It will be a square when I'm done. Okay. Yeah, it's tiny. It will be... Anyway, this is the yarn that I was going to use for my Allie's tea, and I decided it was too bright. And then I was like, it will be socks. And then I was sitting next to the TV one day, and I was like, okay, I'll start. So I made a gauge swatch, and then I got this far, which is tiny.
Right, that's the tiny person reference.
Yeah. But it will be for me, so not a tiny person.
That'll be pretty.
Thanks.
And that is Snallygaster
yarn. Snallygaster yarn. And
Polaris
it's...
sock.
Yes, it's Polaris sock, and it is called
Life Less Ordinary.
Thank you, Life Less Ordinary, which is a movie reference. Mm-hmm. But I'm calling it Purple and Green Socks as a way to remind myself that everything I make shouldn't necessarily be purple and green. Let's see if that works. What else have you been working on?
What else? Oh, so I'm doing a test knit.
Yeah.
This is for Jamie at Pacific Knitworks, I think it's called. Hold on, let me see. So, Pacific Knit Company.
Yep.
So, she does these cowls called doodles. And basically, you're going to get a bunch of little doodles, color work things. And you charts. Mix and match. Yes, those things.
Yeah.
Lots of little charts that you can mix and match and make your own. You can doodle with yarn and make your own thing.
Yeah.
This is a test knit. It's for the Rhinebeck doodle.
Oh.
Which is why I had to start it.
Right.
And why I give myself knitting on a deadline, I'll never know. But I've started it, and...
Oh, yeah. It's very nice.
This is how far I've got.
Uh-oh. Ah.
So I've got llamas and little leaves and little bunnies so far.
That stitch is, like, threatening to come off.
Okay. So,
well, very cute.
Isn't that adorable?
So, you know what they are before you start knitting them?
Yeah, because I can see them on the charts.
Yes.
This
is very cute.
It's going to be, I could have made just a regular cowl, right, where you have your floats on the inside, and then you put a little ribbing on the top and bottom, and ta-da, you're done.
Yeah.
But I decided to do the infinity cowl because, you know, I needed more knitting to do on a deadline. So, it's going to be two-sided.
Yeah.
Basically like this.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go, like, I'm going to keep knitting, and then I'm going to attach the other end here to my provisional cast on.
Okay. So that, it will be the same inside out? I was trying
to explain this to my parents.
Yeah.
At dinner?
Yes.
At trivia?
Yes.
And they were so confused. I think they finally got it because I was describing it as a donut.
Yeah.
Which it kind of is, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the, never mind. Anyway, looking forward to, and I will be wearing this at Rhinebeck because I'm going.
Yeah.
So if you see me,
as am I,
come say hello. Yeah, so I've been working on that. That is fun. I decided not to do that while I'm recording, though, because I'd be just saying things like 1, 2, 3, 1, mm-hmm. 2, 1.
Kind of distracted like I am.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to do that.
Recording. No.
That'd be awful.
Have both of us be distracted. It'd be a disaster. Nice.
Okay. So what else have you been knitting?
So I'm going to count this one, although I have to admit, I'm not sure how much of it I actually did, but I took it. So silly. I took it with me on my big trip to the UK and the Netherlands. Mm. I don't think I did anything on that trip, but just want to show you how Ali's tea is getting along, because it's still burning a hole in my brain every time I'm not knitting it.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you before we even get there.
Okay.
This is a tea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sweater that will be a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm not very far along.
Yeah.
I might still try, ridiculously, to try to finish a sweater before Rhinebeck.
Okay.
If I finish this one, would it count? Because it's a t-shirt? It's a short sleeve?
I don't think there's any rules around your Rhinebeck sweater.
Are you sure?
Because yes. I don't know what happens if you make one or not.
Yeah, because the other one is the Mabel, but I'm even less started on that one.
I am totally not going to finish the one I thought I was going to make.
Yeah.
Because I haven't even unpacked it yet.
Because you're supposed to finish a brand new sweater and call it your Rhinebeck sweater, right? Is the deal?
Yeah.
To the uninitiated. Like
yes.
Me.
I don't think anything happens, though, because you do it.
Yeah. You just get pride.
Pride, yes. Not prize.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to have a Rhinebeck cowl, though.
Yeah. Okay. Instead of a... And that's a thing.
Like it is now, because I said it was a thing.
But can I, like, bring any cowl and call it Rhinebeck? I'm very confused.
I don't know. Somebody who's been to Rhinebeck, tell us the purpose of this.
Yes.
And I was trying to do it because we made the Searsport shawl for the retreat. Because we have it in Searsport, and that sounded like fun. Somebody suggested that for us.
Yeah.
So I did it, and then I just gave people extra raffle tickets if they said if they were wearing their Searsport shawl.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the shawl I designed called the Searsport shawl. So
which they could also have done, but it didn't have to be that one.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. Tell us.
Yeah, please tell us.
Put it in the comments and let us know what we should be doing with our Rhinebeck sweaters if we finish
them. If we
them.
Actually make one.
Yeah. I think the point might be something like whatever's trending and everyone makes the same sweater, then you all get together and get a big picture with it.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, because Andrea Mowry put out a sweater she called her Rhinebeck sweater.
Yeah.
Which is gorgeous, and we put out kits, or suggested kind of yarn combos, which you sort of make your own kit sort of thing.
Yeah. But.
But.
It doesn't have to be
I'm
that
sure
one.
A million people are going to make that, and they're going to have a giant picture of everyone with their Andrea Mowry Rhinebeck sweaters.
Yeah.
I'm just making a Rhinebeck doodle.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what on earth I'm going to say I made for Rhinebeck. Anyway, let's not worry.
Okay. But, you know, you could also work on it on the ride out to Rhinebeck, too.
Yes, I could, if somebody else is driving.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, don't do it if you're driving. That's bad form. Yep. All right. So is that all for our...
That's all I had for what I've been working on.
Yeah, I think that's it for me, too. I don't have that much progress on that doodle, and I have to get it done in 2 weeks, so I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. But again, it shouldn't stress. Yeah, I was so thinking I was going to have this done by the time I got back from my trip.
Right.
But all my flights were overnight flights.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a ton of knitting. And then I ended up driving a lot more than I thought I would need to, or working on the train instead of knitting on the train. Just a real downer. Yeah. Work, darn it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we need to be able to afford our yarn somehow.
I know.
Because, you know, if we couldn't afford any more yarn, we'd never knit again.
I know. It's not like we got sable sitting there.
And sable is for our
stash
listeners.
Accumulated beyond life expectancy. Which, as an actuary, you should actually know what that is.
Uh-huh.
The actual life expectancy as well.
I'll tell you an average life expectancy.
No, I don't want to know.
No, okay.
It's too disturbing.
Yeah.
But yes, we will talk about that. We'll talk about stash. in a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think it's time for a word from our sponsor.
All right. Well, Knitwit Yarn Shop is open in our new larger location in downtown Portland, Maine. We are located at 34 Danforth Street, which is still just steps away from the waterfront. Knitwit has been a favorite knitting destination for locals and visitors since 2004. If you aren't local or you just feel like shopping in your pajamas deck, you can browse our full inventory at knitwitportland.com. And also follow us on Instagram at Knitwit Yarn Shop or on Facebook at Maine Knitwit. But make sure you stop by and say hello on your next Maine vacation.
Yes, and we should probably rethink that a little bit because it's not really new anymore. We've been there over a year.
I know, I just read the words.
I know, but sometimes people come in and they're like, oh, this is your new place. We haven't been in since you moved.
Yeah.
And like, it's been over a year, but people come just like once a year or so on their vacation. So,
well, and I think with lockdown and everything, I think it's new to some people. I think people got into the online ordering a bit more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, they did. All right. What do we want to work on next?
Ugh, too much. Should I start with my weaving issues? So,
your weaving issues.
I think we started to talk about it last week, but not a ton.
Last month. 2 months ago.
Whenever it was. So I have a small rigid heddle loom. I was just looking at it and I was trying to figure out why I never use it. Because I have woven in a class, but I never use it. And I was like, well, I need to find somewhere to put it. Oh, yeah, I was going to use this table. And then I ended up using that table for something else. And I'm like, well, I can put it in the kitchen, but I'm not sure I really want my yarn in the kitchen. And I was like, I'm such an idiot. Why don't I buy a stand for it? Because they cost like $100. And if I just buy it, I will have a stand and I can... Anyway, so I ended up buying a stand for it. All of this was happening around the same time that I found out that there was some used floor looms for sale. Floor looms and like giant heddle looms, various ones, at a place nearish to my house that happens to be on the Maine Yarn Cruise. Mm. I ran into them. So for my birthday, in theory, my husband has bought me one of those, but it's still sitting there at the store. But part of this whole discussion was like, well, why would I need the big floor loom if I don't even use the small one? It's like, well, because it's not set up.
Yeah.
So I have now...
So are you getting the floor loom?
I am getting it, but what we arranged was I was going to go and... They're going to show me how it works.
Oh, good.
In the store.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back on weekends.
Nice.
And then take it home, basically.
Awesome.
Because I'm also kind of stuck between, there's two of them, and one of them is more of a rug loom, which I also like the idea of.
What makes it a rug loom?
I'm still very much not sure.
Okay.
but I think the one that's a real floor loom is the rug loom. You can put thicker stuff through it.
Oh.
And the one that's more like a very large rigid heddle loom is more similar to what I'm familiar with, but it's more for smaller fibers. So more for like table runners and stuff like that.
Interesting.
But please comment. Because I know not of what I speak. I've made one scarf.
Help Julie pick her new looms.
Yeah. But I love it. Anyway.
Good.
So that's what I want to work on next.
Various forms. your yarn-related activity that is not knitting.
Yes. Exactly.
And mine is spinning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am. Oh, I haven't started my spinning yet. I don't know if I talked about this last month, but I don't know. I've just been on the spinning kick. I'm taking two spinning classes at Rhinebeck.
That sounds dangerous. You make sure you stretch before you do the spinning kicks.
Yes. Thank you. I really want to. I went into Port Fiber and I grabbed some more fiber last weekend. I haven't used it yet. And I'm just like, I've been watching all these spinning videos and I just haven't had like a good long stretch of time to sit down and start. And I know I don't need a long stretch of time, but I do need like, I need a little bit of time because I have to unbox a couple more bobbins. And
oh yeah. Well, you're still kind of moving in as well.
Yeah.
That's
a gorgeous day to just sit here and spin.
Yeah. Just sit and spin.
Mm-hmm. had one of those growing up. Maybe that's where the thing comes from.
Yeah.
The love of spinning. Did you have a sit and spin in England?
No.
No?
What is it?
You don't know what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Because I think I know what it is. But
okay. So it's a generally red, like, mm-hmm. circle on the mm-hmm. floor
yeah.
with a handle with another circle on top of it.
Yeah.
And you sit on it, like, you cross your legs. So you're yeah. sitting, like, in a circle with your legs crossed.
Yeah.
With the handle comes up through the middle. And then you turn the handle yeah. and it swings you around. So, like a teacup at Disney World. I don't know if you've ever ridden one of those.
I know what the teacups are because they have them outside of Disney World too. Yeah.
It's basically that, but small and for one person. So you're just spinning this thing and you're whipping around in the other direction.
I don't think we had that in England growing up, but it may also just be something that my parents didn't think was a good idea. They might have been right.
Why wouldn't they?
Okay. We weren't good travelers in my family.
You don't have to go anywhere. You just sit and spin.
Or just make myself ill spinning around in circles. Yeah.
Keep your kids amused for hours. They're just, woo.
I don't know if we have those.
No?
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll have to find a video or something. I'll show you.
Yeah. All right. Or maybe I have to get one.
Okay.
Do they make them for adults?
Well, if you're small enough, I guess.
That would be a no.
Probably doesn't fit us. Maybe they make bigger ones now. We'll look.
All right.
If that doesn't work, I will spin mm-hmm. some yarn.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. And I'm now, like, all in on flax, too, after reviewing mm-hmm. that book last month.
Yes.
So one of the classes I added at Rhinebeck was the spinning flax class.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yes. After that. Yeah, we heard that last time.
Yeah. So now I want to go spin, but I got a baby sweater to finish.
Yeah. You're almost done.
I know. And then I have a doodle to finish.
Yeah.
I should finish that. But I think I might have found the cords to my television. I think they're on the kitchen table when I was unpacking today.
Yeah.
So maybe tonight I can sit in front of the TV and knit again. It's been a while.
Good luck.
Thank you. All right. What else do you want to work on next?
I've got Mabel's sweater on there. Partially because I still, in my head, that's going to be my Rhinebeck sweater. But
you haven't started it yet?
I've started it,
okay.
But it's like hardly at all started. And then I bought the book from you guys.
Yeah.
So that I didn't have any excuse not to continue.
Coco Knits
yeah.
method. So mm-hmm. it's a little different than a normal
yeah.
Sweater construction. It was a lot of fun. We did a class on it. And
yeah.
Mine went pretty quick, my Mabel.
Yeah.
What yarn were you using?
I'm using
same Luft. Thing I did.
Wolfolk
Luft.
Yeah, but that brownie purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
That amazing color. Yep.
Yep.
So I do want to pick it back up, but we'll see. I think that's it, right? Anything else?
No.
Size flat?
That's what I'm trying. I mean, all the things that I've bought over the years I want to work on next.
Yes.
Which we'll talk about again
we will.
Shortly here.
We will.
All right, but that's enough for that segment.
All right. So, Knitastrophes.
I think you're on your own this time.
Yeah.
I haven't done enough knitting to Knitastrophe.
Knock on wood. So, this recursive, I would just say, if you're making it, just make sure that you are paying attention and reading your knitting well. Because I got to this section, which is beautiful. I don't know if you can see. I should probably get a bit closer to the camera. But... what does she call it? She calls it Frost Flowers. So it's a beautiful lacework pattern.
Yeah.
And probably like all lacework, I don't do a ton of lacework. But you really want to be reading your knitting while you're doing it. I mean, yeah, I've got my stitch markers between every 20 stitches so that I know where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But with the yarn overs, they like to travel.
Yeah.
And especially on the rows where the yarn over is next to the stitch marker, you can easily get yourself into trouble. Also, if you happen to be traveling 3,000 miles away from home and don't have enough stitch markers.
You do have a nice eclectic collection
here. I know. We've got the really expensive, nice plastic ones here. Yeah, then I've got my metal ones that I like the best. I've got every kind of stitch marker plastic. I've got every kind of stitch marker going. That's since I came back. I had a few stretches where I was like, I don't need a stitch marker every 20. I'll be fine.
No.
So that led to me having quite a few catastrophes and having to go back and fix things, which again is the reason why I'm not done with this, but it's driving me crazy. I so want to be done with it. Yeah. I'm almost there, I swear. Anyway.
And every time I see you working on it, I really want to pick mine up.
Yes. Yes.
There's just not enough knitting time in the day.
No. I'd better be done with it the next time we record, or there'll be trouble.
Like Zelda's fault. I'm going to blame Zelda this month.
Yes. So yeah, that's my catastrophes in general are recursive related, but it's so
you are having so recursive catastrophes. That doesn't sound good.
curses, recursive.
Yes. All right. So random thoughts. We've been talking about stash organization, and it's very, very relevant since I'm moving into a new house and I have stash everywhere that needs to be organized. And Julie actually, I think you talked about this last time, but you kind of beat me to it a little bit by deciding you're going to organize your stash.
Yeah, it inspired me.
And how is that going?
It's going well. I think I talked about it a little bit, but I have a whole wall of my house made up of those cube things. So I used to have something like 18, and now I've got 36 of them, and they go almost all the way to the ceiling. So then the other stuff, like the rigid head of loom, is on the top of the cubes.
Yeah.
And then I think I said last time my husband saw it, and he's like, "It looks like a yarn store in here," and I'm like, "Yes."
Except didn't he add a four-letter word?
Yeah, there was probably a four-letter word and an ing. Yes, involved. But we're keeping our clean rating.
Yes.
So yeah, it's amazing. Like it goes all the way through in yarn weights, and I can see all the colors and everything. Mm. So it's going great. But in my organization, I seem to have lost my smoky socks. Figure out where they went.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, but I'm basically revamping where everything is in the house. Because it's amazing how many secret stashes you find that you have.
That's what I was saying. So we were just working before we recorded. Mm-hmm. We decided we would do a little bit of unboxing whips.
Yep.
After the packing the whips episode a few months ago. So this month we were unboxing, and Julie is looking at each one and making me decide how much I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. I've come up with a number of frogs. Mm-hmm. So I have a whole box of frogs upstairs now. Things that I will be.
And literally, it is a cardboard box that we labeled frogs.
Yes.
So I just can't wait for somebody to go, what?
Box of frogs. Yes. So I have a box of frogs in my bedroom. Just how many times, have you got to say that line in your life?
I know.
And so I got rid of some. And then there's a small stash, which we're like, I don't know. I kind of love it. I don't want to frog it. I don't want to commit to frogging it, but I don't know when I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
And then there was the, yep, I'm definitely excited to work on that again.
In the next 12 months.
Well, yes.
Yes. You would like to work on it within the next 12 months. So I'm not saying that you will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because I can't get to all of them in 12 months.
Yeah.
And then there's also a category that you don't have. Mm-hmm. You've labeled them kits, which I have numerous, where I buy the yarn and the pattern, and it's all there, and it's ready, and it's calling my name. Like my recursive, for example. I've got so many of those, and I just am trying not to start everyone.
I have a few. I have a couple of kits.
Not as many as I do,
though. No.
Like, I've got so many.
Yeah.
Sometimes I come home and I cast it on, and then I just have, like, a tiny little bit done, so then it's a whip, but usually I don't even get to that. I try to tell myself I want to finish something before I start
Yeah.
But it doesn't always happen. But when it does, it just leaves like something like the recursive waiting for me and killing me. So anyway, that's that.
Yeah. But we're getting there. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Yes, we are. So we make good progress. Emptied a few boxes, and
came out with some. There was some trash, a very small amount.
Yeah, just like, the yarn bands from balls that aren't there anymore. Because you do want to keep your yarn band, if you ever think you might want to buy more yarn, especially, you know, as you're working mm-hmm. through the project.
Or unless you put it on Ravelry, if you put all the details on Ravelry, you don't really need the yarn bands.
Right.
Which I have to admit, I do not do. But yes, I do. I just need to get better at it.
Yes. Because we see it all too often in the shop. Someone comes in with like a little ball of yarn and is like, I need another one of these. And we're like, well, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. I think I bought it here.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Or they know what it was, but they don't know what the dye lot was.
Oh, especially or, that. Yeah. I mean, in some yarns, that really matters.
Yeah.
In some, it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, and then there was like the case that the needle comes in.
Yes.
Yeah. I used like to keep that. Those because I didn't have as many needles at one point. And so like I kept them in their cases in a little envelope thing.
Oh, okay.
But now that I have all the needles, they go, I've got a hanger that like hangs the circular needles by,
I have that
the
too.
Size.
I have that too. You might've got it for me. I can't remember.
Probably. I sell them now
because
I think they're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hanging up on the side of my massive cubby wall.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You want your needles handy to your stash so you can cast on immediately if you feel the need.
Yeah, and what's funny is if I walk by too quickly, they kind of make the jingly noise like it's, what do you call them? Ah, forgotten words. Words have gone out of my brain. But, you know, like you hang it bells. Outside. No, you hang it outside.
Windmill? Wind chimes.
Wind chimes. Thank you. We got there.
Yes.
It's like wind chimes except in my house.
Yeah. All right. So we've been organizing. We will continue organizing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You've been making stuff?
Yeah. So I did get back. I just got back from a trip to the UK and to the Netherlands for work, ostensibly. But I added a little bit of extra time. And I finally got to perform comedy sports improv with the English comedy sports. There's one team left in the UK. Hopefully another one will open up soon. But they're in Manchester or technically Sale, Cheshire. So I got to go up there. I took my parents and like, come with me, we're going to this show. And they're like, oh, we've seen your improv show in America. I was like, this will be different. So we go up to that one. And then they're like, oh, we really like this one. I'm like, yeah, because it was in British English. So it's a bit easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. And we saw the amazing Ben Hodge, who's a friend of mine, who I'd met in Seattle last year.
Okay.
After playing improv online prior to that, and I was on his team. So anyway, it was fun. It's a great location, and I'm really glad I get to do that thing where I can travel,
you know,
kind of all over the world now, but all over the US and in the UK. I tried to do some stand-up comedy while I was over there, and it was a little bit harder to find open mics or to find shows, so I haven't managed to do a stand-up comedy show there, but I keep doing that here as well.
So you're an international comedian now.
I am.
That's amazing.
Thank you. So that was fun. That was my making stuff, but it's also a little bit out and about. So
true.
That might be a segue.
So do you have any shows coming up where people can see you?
That's a good question. Yes. On October 7th, which is a Saturday, so a week from today, we have an improv. Yeah, a week from yesterday. Sorry. We have an improv show at Flask Lounge in Portland, Maine. It's at 6:30. It's an early show. It is a bar, so 21 plus. So that's an improv show. And
do you have a YouTube channel where people can?
I do have a YouTube channel. Maybe we can link to it. Yeah. There's not a ton of stuff there, but there are some of my stand-up, including the one of the sessions from the New England's Funniest Comedian, where I was a finalist.
Yay.
So I'm kind of excited about that.
And what is the name of your YouTube channel? Do you know?
It is.
Or what should they search for?
They should search for Julie Nye.
I'll say it over here by the microphone.
I know. I was just going to look it up, though. Oh. They should search for Julie Nye, and they'll see a picture of me wearing a comedy sports outfit. So that's not particularly helpful. But I wonder if there's a way to link to it from here.
Well, probably I can put it in the show notes if we I will put a note here.
Yeah, because I think the trouble is, if you search Julie Knight, there's actually several of us.
Well, yeah, we learned there's a few Jennifer Flex, yeah, too, right?
I'm at Julie Knight 325. I don't know what 325 means.
I don't know. Mine ended up having numbers, too.
Yeah.
I am not running for any kind of office in Texas, by the way. When we searched for Jennifer, yes, Flex, someone
so absurd
was running for some sort of office with my name, yeah, in Texas. And that is not me.
Yes.
All right, I'm putting a note to link to your channel.
Thank you. Thank you. And then also October 27th at Rising Tide in Portland. Our friends at Rising Tide are hosting us again. So that'll be a Friday night at 7. After Rhinebeck. And that will be featuring the great Al Ganeker, who is a friend of ours, also stand-up. So we have stand-up show, and then we have improv. It should all be funny.
I hope so. So yeah. Why else would people go?
I don't know. They're bored? I don't know. Oh, because they want a drink.
True.
Yeah.
Rising Tide is a good place for that. Or dinner. They usually have really good food.
Yeah. Oh, and I did just do a show at Root Wild Kombuchery.
Yes.
Is that how you say that?
I think so.
I'd never had kombucha before because, you know, I'm British and I have a strange relationship with tea.
Yes.
It was really good.
Cool.
Yeah, I had the kombucha, the ginger kombucha. So thanks, Root Wild Kombuchery. Cool. It was a first.
Nice. So. All right. So then, out and about.
Yeah.
We are going to Rhinebeck, we've mentioned.
Woo! Yeah.
And I put in the Knitwit newsletter today that if you're going and you have Knitwit apparel or mm-hmm. are wearing, you're bringing your Knitwit bag with you,
uh-huh,
I will come up and say hello and take a picture with you.
Ooh.
Unless you say no.
I'll bring mine too.
Okay. Because I want to get a bunch of pictures of like our Knitwit family.
Yeah.
And see who shows up at Rhinebeck.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Hopefully, you know, I'm going to be in classes for 2 days. So maybe you'll find Chuck too. He'll be around. Yeah.
I you might find me too. Yes. I might do it.
Cool.
Because I'm in class, but just for 1 day so far.
All right. And if you have any tips for first-time Rhinebeckers, please put that in the comments for us.
Yeah, because we don't know.
We've never been. I've been, you know, in the knitting community for quite a while, so everything I know is just from other podcasters or mm-hmm. just listening to things. So looking forward to it. We are not going to be vending. We're not going to be, you know, mm-hmm. we're just going as tourists.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called when you're not going in any official capacity.
Right, but we should try to get some audio something. Even if it's not an interview, something.
We will try to do that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Or we could even record there at night, too.
Yeah.
To think how to set that up. Yeah.
It's doable.
It is. I'll bring my little stand, and you bring your microphone. And
I'll bring this lovely microphone.
Yes, it is lovely. All right, and to end it off, I am going to suggest that we just end it here.
Yeah.
And then I put the interview on, and then we don't come back and say goodbye at the end, because that adds a lot to my technical work with this new software I'm using.
Yeah.
So hopefully people won't mind.
Yeah, we'll like fade out. We'll do an interview, and then we'll just kind of fade out with the music.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay, yeah, I can see that. We could do that.
So our interview today is with the lovely ladies from Snally Gaster Fibers.
Yep, Snally 1 and 2.
Yes, yeah. Snally 1 and Snally 2, a sister team who dye yarn and are pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of like fantasy, movie references. Mm-hmm. So their colors are really fun.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things
like that's this one
on my I'm Dying to Knit is with that Supreme Being colorway. There was a whole bunch they made from, what was the movie?
The Fifth Element?
Fifth Element, yeah.
Yeah,
they have a whole Fifth Element series mm-hmm. of colors.
And, yeah.
Supreme Being one was just so bright, rainbow, gorgeous. Oh, and then
I think I have multi-pass.
I bought some multi-pass, too.
Yes.
Anyway, they have gorgeous colors in mm-hmm. fun color names.
Yeah.
And so the one you have there is Life Less Ordinary from them.
Yeah.
But yeah, and hopefully, like I said, the rain isn't too bad and you can hear what we're saying. But that's it for this episode of the Main Yarn Podcast.
Yeah, apart from a lovely interview, you've come to the end of another Main Yarn. But stay tuned, because there's a great interview coming up.
Yes, and after that, you can go and look for our show notes at knitwitportland.com. Mm-hmm. Click on the Main Yarn Podcast. I will also add, I don't know, figure out how to do all the links to
yeah
the stuff we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
And thank you, Knitwit, for sponsoring us.
You're welcome. And I hope to see you all at Rhinebeck.
Yep.
All right. Enjoy the interview. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Time for one more interview here live at Knitwit on the Shores. Knitwit at the Shores. And Chuck being the, the peanut gallery again. This time we're also joined by the rain. This last day is a rainy one, so you may hear some lovely soothing ASMR. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
All right. So you can fall asleep to this interview.
Yeah. But don't.
Yes, please don't. Because we've got some good stuff. Today we have the lovely ladies from Snallygaster Fibers here selling their wares and tempting us. Julie's already petting a particular skein here. So would you like to introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name is Kirsten. I'm Snally 1.
And my name is Erin. I'm Snally 2.
All right.
That's great.
And you have gorgeous, thick, probably the wrong word, deep colors, vibrant.
Saturated,
vibrant colors.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are based on mystical movies and sci-fi.
We embrace our nerddom hard.
Yes. That's good. We appreciate it. Yes. So tell us what the name of your skein there is, Julie.
Yeah, so this one is Multipass, because it's made famous from The Fifth Element and Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, Jovovich.
And there may or may not be another Ove in that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this amazing, like the shocking orange color for the hair and just the beautiful colors that you remember from the movie. So I'm petting this because this will be coming home with me as soon as I pay for it. But it's a great example. Now, is this one of the ones where it's also ultraviolet?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Are you the only people doing ultraviolet light colors?
No. In fact, I will take my UV flashlight around to when we're at a festival and go, see, you have UV colors too. A lot of the pigments in the dyes are UV reactive. It's not something extra we do.
Yeah.
We just happen to enjoy it so much that we like to highlight it show it off.
Yeah.
And do some things on purpose with it just because it does.
Yes. I think you're both wearing articles right now that have those pigments in them, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful shawls, scarves with bright pinks, blues, purples, and then purples and greens. Yeah. I love green right now.
It's things like with our Cosmos colorway, it was inspired by the galaxies, so we decided to use a deep teal and fleck it with UV pigments like the stars would shine.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of thinking and a lot of intentional combinations of the color and how we're going to represent it.
Yep. And this shawl that I'm wearing is inspired from Moana, which is Lalotai, the realm of monsters, which has a lot of bioluminescent critters down there.
Yeah.
So that was the importance as well. It's like we really got to show off that as well. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Awesome. So you guys are one of the new dyers we have in Knitwit, and it's been selling like crazy, which is wonderful. How long have you guys been dyeing?
We just did the math for that, and it's been almost 13 years we've been dyeing.
Okay.
So, yeah. We
started in 2010, in July of 2010. It was my summer vacation.
Okay.
And a good friend of ours was a local dyer in Baltimore. And the year after I had brought myself to knit with expensive yarn that didn't come from Joann's, she stopped dyeing. And I remember looking at her blog going, if I meet this person, she's going to be my best friend. I know that if we ever connected, and lo and behold, Storm Moon Knits is now my best friend. And she shows up at my house and goes, here's a bottle of one-shot dye from ProChem. You're going to love it. And the rest,
and
is,
the rest
history.
Is history. Yes.
So it says right on here, born in Baltimore, died in Maine.
Yep.
So you're both from Baltimore?
We are. We are Maryland raised. My father's ancestors, however, are from Maine. And about 12 years ago for them, they moved up here with my grandmother, and then in 2018, I decided it was far enough from being away from them, and I took the plunge and came on up, and within a year, her dream job opened up, and she followed suit, and
so
now we are all up here in Maine and loving it, and
but I take every opportunity to throw my yawl in to remind people I am from away. And I don't remember where that tree used to be, so you need to give me better directions. Right.
Or where the old Smith farm is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I actually know where the Dairy Queen used to be in Windsor, Maine, and I've never seen it there.
Yeah.
And I've been here 25 years or so.
Yeah. You got to know those things.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Because it's Maine.
Yeah. It's been fun learning those things.
Yes.
Well, that's great. So are you also knitters, crocheters?
Yes.
Everything?
I started out as I started out as primarily a crocheter. And when I learned that I could make socks that actually fit my feet instead of sliding down in my shoes all the time, because I have quite large feet for a female.
Welcome
to the club. Yeah.
Size 11. It's just, it's the, they 13. Stop at 10.
13.
Oh, yeah.
I feel your
pain. They do.
Yeah, see, I'm usually
once
a
in
10.
A while, if you're lucky, they go to 12.
Yes. And that's about it.
Yeah. I'm usually a 10, but sometimes I have to.
Yeah. And just the constant slipping inside. I was like, okay, that's it. Yeah. I can make socks that actually fit. Yeah. Now I will knit.
That's how I got her.
Yeah. Before I refused.
She did not want to knit. Nope. She did not want to knit. She did not want to knit. Guess what?
Yep. Now I knit quite a bit. Yeah. And then we learned how to spin at different time periods, but probably within 2 years of each other. Yeah. And it is my happy place. Yeah. I love spinning. It is so therapeutic for me to hear the rhythm of the wheel and the draft.
Do you spin these?
We
do
not.
Or do you? Okay.
No. But if we did that, we would be chained to a wheel.
To
do something like that.
Yeah,
that
we're not production spinners.
Right.
Yeah. And then I also like to weave. Weaving is my absolute passion. I have too many floor looms. I have 5 at this point. Yeah. And then 2 Inkle looms. The Inkle looms came into the house because my husband decided he wanted to learn.
Oh
really?
And it turns out he actually likes Inkle weaving. I do not. But I do like tablet weaving, and that's what I brought with me to work on today. Thinking of other things we do with yarn, I've learned how to lucette, which is making a cord. I love all kinds of embroidery and cross stitch, and basically if it's fiber, we're curious about it. If we don't know how to do it already, we're looking into it.
Well, that's great. It's like us. And you've got the whole Renaissance Fair side of things too, right?
Tell us
about your membership in that.
We are Rennies, recovering Rennies. I have dived in headlong into the SCA up here, which is the Society for Creative Anachronism, and I describe it as Ren Fair on steroids for the average person. But the idea is we take times past, anything pre-Victorian era, and we reenact them. So a lot of the crafting, I have crafted, my persona is a 10th century Scottish shepherdess from the Highlands, and I would have had a flock of Cheviot sheep, and in my little daydream I have my Norse husband coming, bringing Herdwick sheep to the area, and it's fun to play with these crafts that have been around. You just get this sense of continuity.
Yeah.
And it really does connect you to the clothing is magical. It is something that really does separate us from animals. And it allowed us to take over the world because we could adapt to different environments. So I'm very passionate about the history of clothes and the evolution of clothes and the community of the fiber. The groups of women sitting around the villages with the scene in Outlander that is my absolute favorite, where they
walking
are singing and walking the wool and setting the dye. And it's all about community and working together, and it's a wonderful feeling.
And different cultures have different ways of working fabrics. But we all share that.
Yes.
You know, we all know how to do that.
And that's some of what we get here at the retreat, too, is all the women coming together and just spending these days together. You know, we're dressing in our current day clothes for the most part, but you know,
but it's still about community.
Bringing the craft together and doing it together.
Yeah. I do truly believe there is a reason that they use the term close-knit friends.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's true.
It does bring people together.
Awesome.
That's great. I'm a word nerd too, so yeah, I love that.
It's awesome.
pearls of wisdom.
Love a good pun, or a bad pun, as it were.
Oh boy, you guys are going to be dangerous together then.
We'll break out the Scots accent, so my apologies to all our listeners who are in Scotland right now, but we're going to have to break that out.
She'll tag in with you, because she can do it too.
I used to be able to. I have been way out of practice. Way out of practice.
But we do love your accents, so when we try, we're trying to emulate them because they sound so cool.
Absolutely. There's a reason why my husband will not let me go to Scotland, because he knows I will not return. he's like, those are your people, you will not come back. They will just take you. And I'm like, yeah, they would. And I would go willingly.
He has to go with you.
Yeah.
He's an idea, that's all.
Yeah, I've never tried to talk him into going with me. Maybe that should be
what I'm trying. It's actually a really good time for Americans to go right now. It is, actually.
So,
yes.
Right? Yes. It's definitely on the bucket list.
So, we do really do have listeners from all over the world. So, where can people find you? What is your, are you on Twitter?
We are on Instagram and Facebook. I haven't done too much with Twitter.
Well, and
the only reason I don't do Twitter is that it's not as picture friendly.
Right.
No. Yeah.
So I like to show off what the yarn is doing.
I think I was doing an anachronism, actually. Maybe. I think that was like me from 10 years ago. Are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
What about MySpace?
You guys,
I wish
Tom being
still have
my friend
MySpace.
On MySpace. Yes.
Sorry.
I much prefer MySpace to Facebook.
Well, it's because Facebook keeps changing what I get to see.
That too. Yeah.
I miss seeing what my friends are doing instead of all this created content.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's true.
That's another rant for another time.
Yes, I'm so sorry. So would you like to give your details to listeners so they can find you?
On Instagram and Facebook, we are Snallygaster Fibers, and the name is not as hard to spell as you'd think. It really is just Snally, S-N-A-L-L-Y, Gaster, G-A-S-T-E-R, and Fibers
and Fibers the American way, which
yes.
is F-I-B-E-R-S.
Yep. E-R instead of R-E-S.
We've said that like 3 times now.
Yeah.
Because everybody has it. All of the fibers.
Oh, very fun.
Just have it.
Very fun.
Yeah, so great. Yeah. So, but we also have a website, which is where our store is. We have an online shop, but we're also...
Yeah, they can buy their stuff at Knitwit, too. KnitwitPortland.com.
Yeah. And we also partner with our parents who have a rescue farm of alpacas. And that's our home hub for a store. So that's where we keep all of our stock.
Yeah.
So, and we have yarn from them as well there.
Okay. And we do all their dyeing.
And that is in Waldoboro as well. But all that information should be on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today is a big day at the farm. It's shearing day.
Yes.
In the rain?
In the rain. Because
because
they have a barn.
They're
able to keep them inside and stay dry, unlike a lot of the farms up here where it's tough. So they were approached by our shearer like 2 days ago going, hey, you got an inside where we can keep them dry. You want to shear tomorrow? okay.
Yeah, we usually get a little more notice than that.
We normally get a little bit more notice. Yeah. So.
Wow.
So very excited to go home and check out the new fluff.
Yeah.
See how good this year's fluff is.
And they're going to be so naked. It's so adorable when they go from being big old fluffy things, and then they're so tiny afterwards.
Yeah.
It's amazing the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got some good fiber on them this year, because we just did herd health the other day, so I got in there with them to feel all around. It's going to be a good fiber year this year for them.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate
you coming up here to see us.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Yes.
We're dry inside, so this could be a lot worse.
And you still got great light through the clouds.
The light is amazing with this weather. That's just
a testament to this building. They did a good job designing it.
I think it's also a testament to the yarn. I think the yarn is like giving off a glow.
Yeah, it might be giving off a little light.
Maybe.
All right. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.